This week, my kids had at their school a what they called their track and field day, and so we've had lots of discussions on whether or not some of us are sprinters or some of us are marathon runners. How many of you would consider yourself a sprinter? How many of you would consider yourself a marathoner? How many of you don't run at all? All right, there we go. I knew you were waiting for it. I could tell on the look on your faces. Can there be another option? Yeah, I don't know. How about running slowly for a short distance? There we go. Walking. Oh, okay. As we move on into Hebrews, we're going to be looking at a concept of this idea of what it means to walk by faith or run by faith or to patiently endure. That's not fun, is it? I ran cross country in high school, and it was mostly because of my friends ran cross country. It wasn't that I was all, let's go run in the woods or on golf courses or whatever. But I had to do something in the fall, and so instead of playing football, I ran cross country. And it wasn't really the races that bothered me, because the races were fun. The races, you know, there was competition, there was, you know, I'm in shape, and now I can run, you know, I can run hard at certain times, and it was the practices that I didn't like much. Because we had long days and we had short days. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays were long days, and so we would run between 6 and 8 miles 3 times a week. And on the short days, we ran things like sprints, but we only ran about 2 miles. And there's one time every year, we would run to the next town. And instead of running the fast way, we would run over various back roads and up. And where I'm from is not flat. You think of Iowa as flat, right? No, not really. No, there are very flat parts. But where I'm from, we had hills. Mean hills. Hills that required a little extra willpower. And we usually ran it was 7 miles to the next town. And so when we ran this, it was usually on the last hottest day of the year. and so that's early in September, and most of us, you know, you're supposed to run in the off season. Most of us hadn't, especially me. And so this is the one that I remember hurting the most, because if you don't make it to town, you don't get the bus ride back. No, they would come pick you up. It's okay. But when we talk about this idea that the just shall live by faith, which is what we discussed last week, the writer of the Hebrews really brings out this idea in an illustrative format. That's much better, isn't it? Because we get to see what things look like. So in Hebrews chapter 11, will you start reading with me in verse 1? It says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith he died, though he died, he still speaks. By faith Enoch, was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. And by this he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in a land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants, as many as the stars of the heavens, as many as innumerable grains by the sand of the seashore. We call this chapter the what?
Faith chapter.
The faith chapter, or maybe you've heard it as the hall of faith. And here we have all these different examples, and whether we go through each and every one today, I don't think we're going to take that much time, because there's a lot there. But these are example after example after example of what it means to endure by faith. And so as we look at this first idea here, we go back to the beginning, and Hebrews, he says, faith now is the substance of things hoped for. Or I think my Bible says assurance. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. And as we look at this idea of faith, we need to realize what the writer is saying and what he's not saying. He's not saying, he's not just defining faith for us. He's not talking merely about our justification. But what he's talking about here is a principle of faith, a life of faith. It's not just for the entrance into eternal life. It's for living and experiencing that eternal life. He says here that this faith is the assurance of things hoped for. That word assurance, legally in Greek, I mean in legal terms, like the word justification is a legal term that means to be declared righteous, right? This word here has the legal meaning of a title deed, all right? What is a title deed for? It shows ownership, right? Okay. Well, without necessarily going to the idea of ownership, think of it as a guarantee. That piece of paper guarantees me that I have ownership in such and such a property, right? Okay. That's kind of where this word comes from. That's kind of the color that the Hebrew writer brings into using. Now the faith is the assurance of things hoped for. We got to discuss this idea of hope, right? We're all looking for hope and change, right? Hope is not part of a political slogan, okay? Biblical hope is not a wish. It's not a desire. It's not a fantasy. Biblical hope is looking ahead to something that's expected. Okay, so when the writer here says faith is the assurance of things hoped for, what he is saying is that those things, this living by faith, we are sure of it. We can take it to the bank. We just haven't realized it yet. Is everybody there? Something that we will take possession of, but not yet. And so as we look at this, we're starting to think in this life now, and we're looking along this life of maturity. Remember, we start here, and we want to grow, right? We want to move forward. And it would be really nice if we could just sprint and get there. How many of you like things to change just like that? You'd like them to be easy. Are you with me? We like things to happen. You know, we live in a culture of instant gratification. I'm hungry. Where do I go? McDonald's. Fast food. As long as I don't have to cook it, you know, what do I do? I just go out. And what does that mean? If I go out to, okay, now, my wife and I, we like eating Mexican restaurant. You know, it's okay. We like it. They're fast. They're relatively inexpensive. And guess what? I don't have to do the dishes. You know? That makes it easy, doesn't it? We like instant gratification. We like it when all of our plans work out just as we thought they would, right? When was the last time you had something go like that? It worked out just like you thought it would. For example, last week I changed a water pump out in the truck. It took me a long time. I got it done though. And I thought, okay, I've got everything here. I've got enough coolant. I've got everything I need. So, taking everything apart, putting it all back together, and I got it all working, and all of a sudden it's time to put the thermostat back in, you know, so I need to put a new thermostat in, right? And looking at this piece and looking at the piece that they sent me, and I was like, oh, so this must come out so I can put this one in. And so it's not coming apart. Well, obviously it's got to come apart. So I reach and find the persuader. You know what I'm talking about. You car guys. And I try to persuade it, the old thermostat out. That didn't work like I planned it. I.e. plumbing. Plumbing never works like I plan it. This should go to this, and this should go to this, and it should all work just fine. But that's just not the way plumbing works. Instead, it takes, you know, our lives are like that. Instead, it takes what? A patient, continual walk. There's no sprinting to maturity. Wouldn't that be nice? It would be nice, wouldn't it? No heartaches of growing up. No trying to figure stuff out, right? We just get there, and we're there, and we've got it all right. It's perfect. But faith isn't like that. This life that we live, it isn't like that. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. It's the assurance of things that we're looking ahead to see. Faith has this forward look to it, right? Yeah. It's about where we're going. Looking and seeing, remember, what was in the past, what God's done for us, and moving forward. Because that's really what the fourth warning passage was about, right? Do you remember our illustration? The first warning is don't neglect, don't drift away, okay? Just, you know, stay focused, stay going. He says, don't drift away. The second warning is, if you I have to think about it. I don't have them all written here. Go from drifting to neglect. Don't neglect. No, that wasn't the first part. Oh, let's go back to Hebrews chapter 3. Goodness, get it right the first time. Yes, Oh, take God on faith, believe him, trust him, do what he's doing. Otherwise, you miss out on the rest, the rewards that God gives. And then as we get to chapter 6, it becomes, no, now I'm turning my back on God. I'm saying no to God, okay? And then we come to chapter 10, I'm now willfully involved in sin, right? And the answer to this is recalling the former days. If I'm here, recalling what God has done in the past so that I'm not rejecting, so I'm following him. And so as we think about this process, we look back at what God has done and we say we continue on in faith. We live this life in faith. So we look in the past, we see where God has been, we see what he's done. And now we're looking forward. We looked at what he's doing. We look how he's going to work. We understand that there's a purpose and a plan in what he's doing. So he says here, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. And when he says people of old here, who is he talking about? Okay, so the writer is writing in New Testament times, right? So he's talking about people of old. Okay? People of old were saved and rewarded by what? Faith. The law was meant for worship and for them being a specific type of a people, a peculiar people. And so as we look here, he says, for by faith, the people of old received their commendation. They received their reward based on their faith. He says, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen is not made out of things that are visible. Right? We those things we have to understand by faith, right? We look back and see what God has done. God has created this world, right? Do you agree with me? I would say that most of us here believe that God is the one who created. He spoke it into being. He spoke it into existence. He created it. We get to look back. Was anybody there to witness that? No. Nobody was there to witness that. In fact, when God is talking to Job, he says, "Where were you when I laid the foundations for the world?" We must take these things on faith. So, then looking forward, he says this. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous. So now as we kind of leave this idea, this principle, we understand that faith is not a sprint, it's an endurance race, so to speak. It takes time. You have to continue to put one foot in front of the other. It assumes that there will be things trying to pull you off the path. It assumes that you're living in this world, fighting against your flesh, fighting against outside worldly influence. It assumes that things are going to be rough. For example, he says, look at Cain and Abel. He says, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Why? Why do you think it was offered? That Cain's sacrifice was better, or I'm sorry, Abel's sacrifice was better than Cain's. Why do you think it was? This is a trick question, by the way, so. Come on, somebody, some brave soul. Huh? Blood? First fruits? You took the bait. Hebrews here says it's the idea of faith in the sacrifice. Something about Cain's sacrifice was that it wasn't given in faith, or it wasn't given with the right attitude. Whereas Abel's was. I think that as you look back in the garden, you have Cain and Abel there in the garden, or they're outside of the garden, I'm sorry. They were never in the garden. But they're hearing stories that Adam and Eve are telling them. Can you imagine what that would have been like? The good old days? Kids, grandma and grandpa, they talked a lot about the good old days, right? Well, that would have been really bad with Adam and Eve. The good old days. Man, I remember when we could just pull fruit off the tree and we didn't have to work. There was no going uphill to school in the snow both ways, right? None of that. They were saying, man, that was awesome. And I can imagine that Cain and Abel, as they were boys, I mean, learning to live and Adam and Eve learning to parents and all this other stuff within the fallen world now is frustrating. And so they were taught to bring a sacrifice. And Abel's sacrifice was looking ahead toward what God would do. God, I know that you are going to fix this for us. And so therefore, I'm bringing this in worship. Whereas Cain's was more like, this is my imagination here. Cain's was like yeah, God, here you go. I know I'm supposed to do this, and so there you go. Boy, we really messed up, and I don't think you're going to do this. That's the difference between the two sacrifices. It was the attitude, the inside, the faith that it was brought with. He says here that because of Abel's faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. Why is Enoch such an important figure in this whole faith chapter? What was it like in the world in those days? Pre-flood.
And every thought, the intention of their heart, was only evil.
Okay. So, that's bad, right? So Enoch lived in a time where life, it was hard to be righteous. If you were in Sunday school, we looked ahead toward a time when it would be easier to live righteously in the millennial reign of Christ. Here, Enoch lives in a time where it's difficult because everybody and their brother is doing what? Only evil continually, right? How would you like to go back there and live? No? Oh, come on. Wouldn't that be interesting, though? No. Only if I had a reservation on the boat. So Enoch, as he lives his life, he has to trudge, and he has to fight, and he has to do what's not popular. I mean, think about us today. There are places in this world where Christianity is popular, right? And you do what's right because everybody does what's right. There are places kind of like that. Yeah, they still fight the world and things like that. But, you know, especially in small towns in the South. Have you ever been in small towns in the South? It's really interesting on Sunday. My wife and I, when we went on our honeymoon, we went to these cabins in Georgia. And in this little itty-bitty town, we went to church on a Sunday. And we said, obviously we were out. We were on our honeymoon. And so we need to go eat after church on Sunday, right? Yeah. Everybody gets hungry. And so we weren't going to cook. And so we found the only restaurant open in town, and it was packed. But walked in there, and you could tell everybody in the whole town goes to church. You know why? I hear whispers here and there. They're all dressed up. All these little boys got their top buttons buttoned, and they got the little clip-on ties. And everybody, you know, you can tell they're all families because they got all their, all the families have these great big huge long tables, and all the kids are on one end, all the grandpas and moms and dads are all, they're all segregated around so they can all talk to each other, right? That's what it was like. That makes it easy, especially in a small town where everybody knows who you are and everybody knows your business and everybody knows, I mean, news travels faster in a small town than it does on a telephone. It does. Faster than Facebook. It's that fast. Well, here, Enoch, when it, in the time that Enoch was living, it's not that at all. It was Enoch and his little family against the rest of the world. What does that tell you about the faith of Enoch? Yeah. It wasn't necessarily that Enoch was anything special. It just says he had determined, you know, he was living toward God. He was living for God. By faith, Enoch, he was translated because he had this testimony that he pleased God. And then the Bible says, and without faith, it is impossible to please him, right? Without faith, God won't answer our prayers. I have a funny thing to say about that. Prayers, in a sense, are an act of faith. Do you agree with me? Prayers are an act of faith because you're praying to one who answers prayers, right? And so we are expecting God to work on our behalf. So that is what we're asking God to do. When I prayed earlier, I asked God to help us, right? I expect God to help us. Now, I don't know how he's going to do that, right? Because God works in different ways. God, if let's just say, so, and I can only speak about my life, right? So years ago, Miriam and I were living in a tight time, and I needed money to continue on my education, to make sure I continued to have the housing that I had, and I needed money, and I didn't have it. So I was praying and praying and praying and praying and praying and praying and praying about it. And that day, I had some friends who kind of knew our situation, and I didn't know what we were going to do. I was just going to we're going to have to move out of the house that we were in and move to another place and go work. I was praying about it. I had some friends come over that night. They were already planning on coming over, and it was okay. And he said, hey, by the way, they told me to tell you, don't worry about your bill this semester. I expected God to just give me a job so I could work it off. That's what I expected. But somebody paid for my semester school that year, or that semester anyway. Isn't that awesome? But that's how God works. He doesn't do what you expect him to do. Now, I'm not saying that he's going to do that for everybody. He may, when you expect him to just have somebody pay your bill for you, he may just give you a job, right? But that's how God works. We don't know what he's going to do. But that's actually what it means to go on in faith. That's what it means to look ahead and say, you know what, I know that God is working, God is working on me. God is molding me and making me into somebody so that in the end, as I walk through my life, I can look back and I can see where God's taken me. So, your question was a little tricky. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. It says here that if you're going to please God, you have to believe that he is, that you have to that he exists, and that he rewards those who seek him, right? And so, if I'm going to please God, I have to understand who he is, that he's a God who exists, that he's a God who lives in the here and now, that he knows what's going on. He exists. Because that's who God is. I have to know who he is, right? And that he rewards those who diligently seek him. So what does that mean? So, talking about Enoch and how he lived and how he lived in his time and had to fight against the rest of everybody else, his faith, his marathon, so to speak, when it got tough, he trusted that God knows what he's doing. He trusted that God knows his circumstances because he exists. God is who he says he is. But knowing that, God also rewards those who diligently seek him. He's looking ahead to something better. He's looking ahead to some promises that God has. That's amazing. That's how we please God. All these examples here are people who live in difficult situations. Cain and Abel, they were the first generation outside of the garden. That would be a difficult situation. Enoch, living in the middle of a bunch of heathen pagan people, right? That would be a difficult situation. Here we have Noah. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his house. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness that comes by faith. So let's see. Noah, now, he was given information. God told him what? I'm going to send a flood. Had anybody seen any flooding before? These are events yet unseen. He said what? I need you to prepare an ark. I'm going to show you how to do it. Does anybody remember how long it took Noah to build that ark? 120 years. It took Noah to build that ark. Now, Noah was the great-grandson of Enoch, or the grandson, I can't remember which. So he's living in the same type of a time period as Enoch did. Imagine it now. Everybody is against the people who live righteous. Everybody has the thoughts and intents that are only evil continually. And here's Noah. God tells him, I need you to build an ark for events yet unseen. Nobody's ever seen anything like this before. And so he starts building this great, big, huge barge that I believe this room could fit in easily. It was three stories high, like almost a football field long. Thank you. Great. I was close. I was right. I had one of them right anyway. Yes. Yes. I didn't remember Lamech. But as Noah is being warned by God, he's building this thing, and he is a sign to people outside that God is going to judge. He's condemning the world through his actions, through his faith. Can you imagine the struggle that is? Can you imagine the ridicule that Noah would have experienced? What are you building? What are you doing? Well, there's a flood coming. Well, what? Yeah, God's going to destroy this world by water. Yeah, whatever. Nobody's ever seen anything like that. Difficult circumstances. What does this teach us about our circumstances in the here and now? What does it tell us? How many of you are going through some difficult stuff? How many of you guys got stress in your lives? Yeah? How many of you have problems at work or problems in your family? Okay? Now, I got a few people kind of going like this. But I know we all have that. All of us do. Why? Well, because we live in this world, we still have, if you know Jesus Christ, even though you've been saved from your sin, you still live in a body of flesh and you still have to fight sin. We still have worldly influence. We still have demonic influence. We have a lot of stuff in this world that we have to battle. And we're still expected. God still wants us to walk this life of righteousness. And it's not easy. God never told us it would be easy, right? Ever. And so that's why he's telling us, look at all these people. Look at Enoch in the time that he lived. Look at Cain and Abel. Look at Noah. Look at Abraham. The stuff that they went through. No, he's not saying they did it perfectly, because we know they didn't. But what did they do? They consistently walked to please God. They kept moving forward, so to speak. What does that say about God and our circumstances? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? In fact, I remember in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose. Does that mean that God can take my stress and my circumstances and turn it toward good? Well, absolutely he can. Does that mean that God can use the things that happen to us to make us better, to change us? Joseph and his brothers. What you did to me for evil, God meant it for good. And to save much people alive, right? Absolutely. That's the God we serve. That's the God we're trying to please. We must continue to walk in faith. Now, it doesn't mean that all of our circumstances are going to be resolved in a good way. It might mean I lose my job. Here, these families, people were being disowned from their families. God's not saying, I'm just going to magically bring your family back to you. But he says, I'll be there through it. I'll be with you. He didn't say it was going to be pie. Jesus said, in this life, you will suffer. Now, that's not a very appealing Christianity to me, is it? To you, to me, it's not to me. But when we look at faith, when we look at how people live in the circumstances that they lived in, it should encourage us. Hey, they lived in a worse time than I do. It's gonna work out. God is gonna use us in some way. Whether it's through me ministering to somebody else who needs it, 1 Corinthians, whether it's God bringing me through the maturity process, James chapter 1, we continue to move forward. We continue to move toward God. I wish that we could take each and every event here that we find in Hebrews chapter 11 and go in through and explain it. But we would be here for quite a long time. And I cannot do that on Mother's Day. That would be horrible of me, wouldn't it? Yes. Yes, it would. I just want to bring out one thing. One more thing. When we start looking at Abraham, it says, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place. Not really talking about Abraham, but I just want you to think through this. I'm trying to set up the context here. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Have you ever felt like that, by the way? I don't know where I'm going, but God, I know that you've got something for me. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise, for he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah Sarah herself received power to conceive even when she was past the age. She was considered faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of the heaven and many innumerable grains of the sand of the sea. Do you remember the story about Sarah becoming a mother? Here she is. She's 90 years old. And God comes and says to Abraham, you're going to have a son. You know what? Sarah believed him. And so she said, well, it's not happening through me, so here's Hagar. And so that's where we have Ishmael. God said, nope, it's not Ishmael. It's going to be your son, Abraham, and Sarah's going to be the mother. And Sarah laughed. Sarah was in an impossible situation. God, what are you going to do? There was no physical way for this to happen. Was there? None. None whatsoever. But God, that's how we always start that, right? It's impossible, but God, because nothing is impossible with God. But God worked. And Sarah, who was 99 years old when she had her son, had faith. She believed that God would work. She believed that God would do something. Because we serve a God who does stuff. That's why we live like we live, right? That's why we teach our children. That's why we do the discipleship process. That's why we go out and we evangelize. It's because we serve a God who's able to do things. We serve a God who works. So the next time you're out there and you're thinking, I know I need to talk to my neighbor about Jesus. I know I need to talk to my coworker about Jesus. We can. We don't have to be afraid. We can. It might feel a little awkward. It might feel a little scary. But we know that what? No matter what happens, that God is working in us. Right? He's working in the situation. And it's our job to do what? To save them? Nope. It's our job to give the information. This is why we continue to act by faith even when bad things happen. Because when bad things happen and things get tough, what are we tempted to do? Give up. God, it's not working anymore. Right? But even Sarah, who's an example of a faithful mother, continues to believe, continues to trust God, even though she's 99 years old. And God blessed the world with the Jewish people. We serve a God who does impossible things. We serve a God who we can please by faith, who we need to follow. So what does that say about where you are right now? What is it going to look like for you to continue on in faith? How is that going to affect your home life? How is that going to affect your attitude towards your spouse or your kids? How is that going to affect you at work? When it's tempting to just complain and murmur instead of looking at God, being joyful and content. How does that work out in your extended family that may not believe? What does that look like for me to walk by faith? We're to be encouraged by this passage to continue on even though it's tough. We're to continue serving. We're to continue worshiping. And we might be met with resistance. In fact, Christ promised persecution, didn't he? But what does it mean for us to take that step? And that's an answer that each one of us has to sit there and think. You know what? This is happening in my life now. I've been reacting to whatever situation in this way, and this is not a reaction of faith. I don't know what it is. But each one of us can continue to walk by faith. Will you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for your word, and we thank you for the encouragement that we find in Hebrews in this list of people who continued on, and even though they had extremely difficult circumstances and they had the odds stacked against them, they were still able to continue on by faith. Some of these folks that we study, they were in impossible situations, but they continued to look at your promises. They continued to look at you and what you said that you would do. Lord, we know that you promise us a life with you, that you're there. You say you'll never leave us or forsake us. And God, we trust in that. Help us now to take what we learn. Encourage us. Encourage us to follow you even when it's tough, whether it's at home, in the work, just out in our everyday lives, wherever it happens to be, Lord. I just ask you would help us. And so simply, we just cry out to you. Lord, please help. In Jesus' name, amen.